The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel of St. Luke, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 32nd verse. Here our Savior tells us not to be afraid, because the kingdom of heaven is ours. And a portion of this, the opening verses, are also the sermon text for this morning. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that I'd like to consider with you this morning is especially verse 34 of Luke chapter 12. The words, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our dearest treasure, dear fellow redeemed. I'm sure you are familiar with the television commercial which asks, "What's in your wallet?" When that ad airs, I normally reply, not much, thank you. This morning, however, I'm not asking you what's in your wallet. I'm not asking you if you have a Capital One card in your wallet. But instead, I'd like to ask you, what's in your heart? And that question is based on the statement that the Savior made when he was talking about people's priorities. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, Jesus wanted people to take a very honest look at their lives to see what was really in their hearts. Because he knew that sometimes what we find there can be very surprising and not at all what God would have us concentrating on in our hearts and lives. Let me tell you a story. Years ago, there was a teacher in the public school system. She was a Christian lady. She was a good teacher. She had a student in her class, however, who wasn't particularly good. Not that he was a bad boy. He just seemed to be, kind of a cut below the rest. Boy never really caused any problems in her classroom, but he never really seemed to care much for class either. At recess, he pretty much stood by himself, didn't interact with the other kids. When he was called on by the teacher in class, his answers were generally one-word answers. When other kids in the class would ask to help teacher with various tasks, he never really did that. He preferred to be off on the sidelines by himself and be passed by for chances to help the teacher. Now, this teacher took considerable pride in her work, and she said that she loved all of her students alike, but when she really looked down deep into her heart, she recognized the fact that she really did not love this little boy the same as she loved the rest of her students. And then all of a sudden, things began to change. It changed the day that teacher chose to look at the boy's class records. His first grade teacher had commented that he had a good work ethic, but a poor home environment. The second grade instructor had added that he was a fine little fellow, but he really should be applying himself more to his classwork. And the third grade teacher had recorded in the boy's record that because of a very serious illness with his mother, he had grown to be a very serious young man. And that year, someone else, not the teacher, but someone else, had jotted a short scribbled note in the record, "His mother died this spring." And all of a sudden, that teacher felt her heart ripping and tearing when she read those words. Well, the school year progressed, and as it always does, Christmas came. And at their school, you can't call it Christmas anymore, so it had to be called winter break. And the children brought their teacher winter break presents. All neat, nicely wrapped packages with the typical, you know, magnets and candy and all of those other good things which teachers get at that time of year. And here came this little boy with a simple brown paper bag that he had decorated with crayon colorings. And when the teacher opened his gift, she found a bottle of inexpensive perfume inside the bag. And the class snickered, especially when they saw that that bottle was half empty. But being the good woman that she was, that teacher held up the boy's gift. She complimented on the beauty of the bottle, and she took some of that perfume and she dabbed it and put it on her cheeks. And she thanked the boy for his gift. When recess came, that boy, for the very first time, came up to his teacher and he spoke to her. He said to her, "You smell nice. You smell like my mom." Now, at that teacher's school, being a public school, they weren't allowed to pray, but that woman prayed at that point in time. And she asked God to take away her apathy and the angry feelings that she previously had had for that student of hers. And God did. And he filled her heart with love. And as that teacher changed, so did that student. His heart, which had been so terribly wounded by the death of his mother and the grief that he continually saw in his father's face, his heart all of a sudden began to open up. His grades improved. His friends increased. And once in a while, not often, but once in a while, he actually smiled. Because the possibility of being loved and loving others had been placed into his heart once again. What's in your heart? And understand, I'm not talking about that fist-sized muscle in your chest which goes lub-dub, lub-dub, lub-dub. I'm not talking about that miraculous, God-given mechanism which beats 109 million times and pumps more than 36 million gallons of blood throughout a 70-year lifespan. No, I'm talking about when you pick your priorities in life. What is near and dear to your soul? What are you living and dying for? What is the treasure which is at the center of your heart? And when you pick your priorities in life, what do you find? Hearing Jesus ask those questions, you might readily reply, "What's in my heart? Well, here, God, take a look. I got nothing to hide. And I certainly can't hide anything from you." And many people will very courageously confess that their family is what is in their heart. That is their dearest treasure. There is nothing more important for them in life than their spouse and their children. But beware. Because the Savior wants you to know that there is a danger in placing family on the highest pedestal of your life. Jesus Christ himself has said to you in the pages of his word, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And please understand Jesus' words there. He's not saying that father or mother, son or daughter shouldn't be loved by us. But what he is saying is they shouldn't be loved more than God himself is loved. What's your treasure? What is at the center of your heart? Is it your country? There's much to be said for being loyal citizens, honorable citizens of this great country in which we live. There's much to be said for investing your life in service to the common good. And many of you have done that or are doing that right now. But if your country is the center of your heart and your nation is your greatest treasure, Jesus would say, beware. Because as many nations such as Germany and Japan found out in World War II, countries can be wrong, causes can be corrupt, and leaders can be losers and liars. What's at the center of your heart? What's your greatest treasure? Is it looking good and feeling young? Is it keeping yourself physically fit? Nobody is going to question the fact that good nutrition, suitable exercise, looking good, feeling good are worthwhile endeavors. But should they be our dearest treasure in life? Again, the scripture says through the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. What's at the center of your heart this morning? Now let me rightly rephrase that and reiterate that statement. Who is at the center of your heart? Who is your greatest treasure? Let me give you an illustration as to the wrong answer to that question. Some years ago on a Sunday morning, there was a father who gave his son 2 dimes. And the boy was told he was to take one of those dimes and he was to put it in the Sunday school offering that morning. And the other dime was to be used to buy an ice cream cone when he came home from church. Now, you can tell how old this story is just by the fact that for a dime, you could get an ice cream cone. At any rate, the boy was on his way out to the car for his trip to Sunday school and church, and he tripped on the way. And as he did so, one of those dimes fell out of his hand, rolled down the driveway, and ran right into the storm sewer at the end of the driveway. And he got up, dusted himself off, looked up to heaven, and with a sigh said, "Well, God, there goes your dime." That boy did not have the right answer as to who is the center of your life. The truth is that the Savior is to be at the center of our lives. The Lord is to be our greatest treasure. The Lord is to be the one who is the recipient of the highest level of our love. And why? Why should he be the foremost thing in my life? I mean, what has he done for me lately? Well, God should be at the center of your life because he deserves that spot. That heavenly fellow who made you, who has watched over you, who keeps you day after day, who loves you, has said in his word, keep me first. Let me have first priority. You shall have no other gods. And remember that heart which I described for you a few moments ago? What is it that keeps that thing beating and pumping? Who do you imagine thought that thing up and keeps the rhythm right in that thing and does so without oil changes and battery replacements and tune-ups? It's God. It was God who gave you the lungs with which you breathe, the eyes with which you see, the ears with which you hear. And if your lungs aren't working so good any longer, and your eyes don't see so well anymore, and your ears don't hear like you would like them to, don't blame God for that. That's not his fault. All of those things would still be perfect if sin had not entered this world. And God is not responsible for sin entering the world. The devil is. And what has God done for you lately? Well, all you need to do to answer that question, dear friends, is to look once again to the cross of Jesus Christ, where he was crucified so that we could be forgiven and have the promise of spending an eternity with him in heaven. Do you want to know what it is about Jesus and what he has done that should make him your dearest treasure, worthy to be at the center of your heart? He took your place on that cross. He died there. He rose again on the third day. He appeared to his disciples and he said, "Look at my hands and my feet. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have bones and flesh like you see I have. Believe, and eternal life is yours." That is what Jesus Christ has done for you. His life, death, and resurrection is a wonderful gift from God, which you should consider to be the most precious thing for your life. And with a risen Redeemer at the center of your heart, your life is changed. Your life is changed in the here and now, and your life is changed in the eternity to come. And if you doubt that, let me finish the story with which I began this sermon this morning. You recall that teacher who, when she was forgiven by her Savior, became a different person. That kind of thing happens all the time, dear friends. Believe me. Let me tell you the rest of that story. That teacher did not hear from that student for a number of years. And then one day, all of a sudden, she got a letter in the mail which said simply this: "Dear instructor, I wanted you to be the first to know that I'm going to be graduating second in my class. Love, your student." 4 years later, she got another note from him. It said, "Dear teacher, they just told me that I'm graduating first in my class. University was not easy, but I liked it." And the next letter said, "Dear teacher, as of today, you can call me doctor. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know. And I'm getting married next month, on the 27th to be exact, and I want you to come and sit where my mom would sit if she were alive. Because since my dad died this last year, you're the only one I have left." That teacher went to that wedding, and wearing the last drop of fragrance from that old cheap bottle of perfume, she sat where his mom would have sat, and she celebrated the love which Christ had given to her and to her student, and the love which they both now had in Jesus Christ as their dearest treasure in life. Jesus is our greatest treasure. And dear friends, I am so glad to be able to share him with you today. Amen.